I want to thank our brother for the kind words of welcome here tonight to Kilkenny. It's lovely to be back with you and to your new fellowship with you and to see some familiar faces in the congregation tonight. Nice to see Glenda. Glenda looks after us very well on the mission board and she looks after me very well, and it's nice to even see her here tonight too. I do hope tonight that you'll even be encouraged as we come and we look at especially the work we've been doing, especially over the past sort of year and a half with FPC Kids. And I do hope tonight that you will be encouraged to hear how the Lord has been working, especially amongst our boys and girls, and how he has been saving our boys and girls even through this work. And even in the midst of a global pandemic, the Lord can still work, and he has been working. And I do hope, like I said tonight, to encourage you, even as we go through and look and see what we've been doing, and even come to the Lord's word tonight, like I said, you will be encouraged. So we're just going to run through we've got a few photos here to show you, so run through those and then we'll come and look at the Lord's or God's word tonight after. But I would ask you to turn to the word of God, to Psalm 48. Psalm 48, and the title of this psalm is A Song and Psalm for the Sons of Korah. And we're going to read through all this psalm and then come and look, just tell you then what we've been doing over the past year and a half. So Psalm 48, verse 1. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For, lo, the kings were assembled, they passed by together. They sought, and so they marvelled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain, as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice, let the daughters of Judah be glad, because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion, and go round about her, tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever, he will be our guide even unto death. And then everything there at the end of verse 14. So I began working as a full-time children's worker under our mission board in March of 2019. And I was working alongside Joy Foss and Robert McConnell. And we were really doing kind of for that first year. I was that first year of the work under the mission board, really doing the sort of things that would come to mind when you think of a full-time children's worker here in Northern Ireland. We were able to get into schools and doing assemblies and after-school Bible clubs and things like that, along with doing church work and going around doing deputation meetings and doing children's meetings and holiday Bible clubs and things like that. So just the kind of the usual things that might pop into your head when you think of a children's worker. However, little did I know, and I guess little did any of us know, that just a year into my work, that the work would very much change and drastically change. And it really was March of last year. I don't think I have to remind anyone what happened in March of last year, but March of last year really saw the beginning of all of the cancellations that I had, all the cancellation of meetings that I had in my diary, because of the coronavirus. And I remember there was a week at the beginning of March when pretty much everything was just cancelled, and every day we were getting phone calls from ministers and principals and teachers saying, look, we're really sorry, but we can't have you in next time, and we're going to have to cancel meetings, understandably so, to keep everyone safe. So my diary went from being pretty full to really having nothing in it at that point, really up to the beginning of summer of last year. And I was just kind of thinking, well, that's that. Can't really do much about it. We can't really force ourselves to go into schools. We can't force churches to have us. So I was kind of just resigned to the fact that I would have a few quiet, well, weeks or months ahead, I thought, at that point, and that was just nothing I could do about it. And I live on a dairy farm. My dad's a dairy farmer, and I kind of just thought, well, I'll just go out and help him for the next few months. It'll keep him happy. I might not enjoy it that much, but it'll give me something to do. So that was really what was going through my head at the beginning of March of last year. However, just kind of a few kind of days after all these thoughts were going through my head, I got a phone call from Alistair Hamilton, who is the treasurer of our mission board. And he was really wanting us as children's workers, so myself and Robert and Joyce, to come together and to form an online ministry for the boys and girls. Of course, the boys and girls weren't able to go to Sunday school and children's meetings, and a lot of churches have moved to an online ministry at this point. I think most churches were closed at this point, so there really wasn't anything specifically for the boys and girls. It was something that was missing, and so it was quite a natural thing to do, and to have an online ministry for the boys and girls. So we formed a team. There was myself and Robert and Joyce, and along with that came Alistair, and along with that came Alistair's daughter, Catherine Keane. She does a lot of the filming and editing for the mission board. A lot of the deputation videos you've seen were probably done by her. And along with that, Glenn Hamilton came on, and from that, FPC Kids was born. So we have FPC Youth, FPC Missions, we now have FPC Kids. And we had a Skype meeting on the 20th of March. There's no such thing as Zoom. Back in March of last year, it was still Skype. So we had a Skype meeting on the 20th of March last year, and we formed this FPC Kids. My original plan was to put these videos out on Facebook and on YouTube. Those are the platforms we were going to use. And the plan was to do, at that point, to do two meetings per week to really form, really be like a children's meeting and a Sunday school. So we decided that we would do a meeting on the Friday night to kind of act like a children's meeting, and then one on Sunday morning to sort of act like a Sunday school. And then we also decided that we would do a little devotional message, or a wee 5-minute kind of message, during the week on a Wednesday. So at that point, the kids were all off school, so it was something for them to watch during the week. So we had a wee 5 or 10 minutes, so kind of devotional type little message for the kids to watch in the middle of the week. And so from that, we had our Bible corners and our wee words. Wee word is a very Northampton thing to say, or wee is a very Northampton thing to say. There's a lot of us on the team from Ballymena, which I think had a great impact on that. So we had our Bible corners and our wee words. And our Bible corners were our meetings on the Friday night and the Sunday morning. And then our wee words were those wee 5-minute devotional type messages. We really wanted these to really be as much like, especially the Bible corners, to make them as much like a children's meeting as possible. So we decided that we'd have some singing, we'd have a prayer, and then a memory verse as well, and then the Bible story, and really kind of make it as familiar for them as possible to be watching. Now, our original plan at that first Skype meeting that we had was to go to our church at Cumber and to record there. Our church at Cumber very kindly said that we could go and use their facility. I think it's their prayer meeting or the youth room. Go and use the facility there, and we would all go down to Cumber, and Catherine would come along and she would be able to record us there. However, just kind of a few days, I think it was only the next day kind of after we had this meeting, we were told, the government told us very firmly, that we were to stay at home, and the country was put into a total lockdown. And so we had to go to plan B, which was to record these meetings at home. Now, for some reason, I was the first person chosen to do the first meeting. I don't think I'll ever forget that week. It was one of the most stressful weeks of my life, I think. I had never done anything like this before. This is something very new to me. I think it's new to a lot of people. A lot of ministers maybe struggled too at the start. I'd never done anything like this. And I was doing it just at home on my own, just using my phone and the camera on my phone. And those first few months where we had to record at home, I know that me and Robert found it difficult, and just because, well, I was doing it, like I said, on my own, and no one was there to tell you if you actually pressed record, and you could have done a whole meeting and think, oh, that one wasn't too bad, and turned around and the phone had switched off, or you were off centre, or it was focusing in and out, and the amount of times where you had to redo the meeting again. So those first few months were hard, but the Lord did give help, and we were able to get that first meeting out. And we gave ourselves a week, so we had the initial idea on the 20th of March, and we wanted the first meeting out on the 27th. So we didn't give ourselves a lot of time, but the Lord did give help, and we were able to record that first meeting. And I think I spoke on Samuel anointing David as the next king over the land of Israel. And that meeting did go out on the 27th of March. And we really had no idea how boys and girls were going to react to these meetings. This is something that was very new. Of course, it's very normal for them now to be sitting down in front of a computer screen or TV and have lessons when they were off school and things like that. But back in March of last year, this is something very new. And we didn't know if boys and girls were going to want to sit down in front of a computer screen and sing choruses in their own homes and talk along with the memory verse and do all the things we were asking them to do. So we didn't know how this was going to go down. But honestly, we were blown away by a response even from that first meeting that went out. When it went out live, there was over 150 devices watching in, so you're talking 150 families from all over the world, and we have people watching in from all over Northern Ireland down into the south, people watching from the mainland, from Canada, from America, from Australia. We were just blown away, and even just the wee messages that we got from people, messages of support from our church family, and that's something that's really struck me about how our church family even has come together and has really supported this work and has supported us as children's workers even over this past year and a half and supported FBC Kids. We want to thank you for that. We want to thank you for your prayers and even for encouraging your children, your grandchildren to watch in, nieces and nephews to watch in. We want to thank you for that and for supporting the work. And we want, of course, ultimately thank the Lord and for what he has done and for how even he has allowed us, even over the past year and a half, to do this work for him, even though at times, or at the beginning anyway, it seemed like we wouldn't be able to do anything. We thank the Lord that he made a way for us and that he even had given us those people with those talents to even bring these videos together. And we want to thank the Lord for what he has done and for even how he has saved children and saved boys and girls. Even from that first video that went out, we heard of one little girl coming and asking the Lord to be her saviour. And that was a real mark of approval and even a reassurance from the Lord that what we were doing was in his will. And we've heard of children being saved even over the past year and a half. And even in our last Holy Bible Club we had, we heard of a girl coming and asking the Lord to be her saviour. So the Lord has been using these meetings to save boys and girls and many more perhaps that we haven't heard about. And we want to thank him for that. So moving back again to last year, after those first few months we were recording at home, we were finally able to move down to Cumber to record. The restrictions were lifted a little bit and we're all able to head to Cumber, which is a big weight off everyone's shoulders. It was great to actually have Catherine there to be able to film us. And this is kind of what we look like up on our screens. Maybe you have never seen any of our videos before. And this is kind of us, myself and Robert and Joyce. We're very bright, we're very colourful, we're very much even towards boys and girls. And so far we have done around 50 to 60 Bible corners. So those are our slightly longer meetings. And they kind of have changed and evolved as the year and a half has gone by. And just with restrictions lifting and sometimes coming back again. So we're still kind of working out what we're kind of doing at the moment, because many Sunday schools are back and many children's meetings are back as well. So it's kind of difficult sometimes, we'll touch on this later, even to know kind of what meetings we put out and things that gap. But so far we've done around 50 or 60 Bible corners and we've done about 15 or so wee words. And like I said, these are slightly less formal than our Bible corners, kind of a wee 5-10 minute kind of devotional type messages. And we were able to kind of, maybe not let loose, maybe not the right term, be able to do a wee bit more with these Bible corners. And Robert, he loves his vintage car. I think he has a vintage car, a classic car. He was in them. He was up the Moor Mountains a week as well. And like I said, I live on a farm, so I did a little series out with the farm animals and the cows and things like that. And these seem to go down really well. And I think both parents, our children and parents and adults enjoy these. And I've even heard of a man asking his daughter what her favourite Bible story was. And she said, it was the one with the cows. And she was talking about this and the out chewing the cud with the cows. And so yeah, I think these went down well. And we thank the Lord even how he used these, even to speak to those children who are saved, because they need leading and guiding. And this is a good opportunity even to speak to them about how to live for Christ. Along with those meetings that we put out, we also did some worksheets that the boys and girls were able to print off and then fill out. And they could take a picture of it and send it to our Facebook page. And then we were able to put them up on Facebook then for everyone to see. And we want to thank those. And we had a great response from those worksheets. There was a real core group of children who every single week sent back those worksheets. We want to thank them for that and thank even parents for encouraging their children to do these. And again, thankful to the Lord they even put it into the hearts of children even to sit down and do these wee sheets and send them back to us. So going back again to last year, I was really hoping that come summer of last year, summer 2020, that we would be able to do our Holiday Bible Clubs. I had about 11 Holiday Bible Clubs booked for last year. I know Robert and Joyce probably had the same, if not more. And I was really hoping and praying that we'd be able to have our Holiday Bible Clubs in person last year. However, that was not the Lord's will and not his plan at that time. And all of those Bible Clubs that we had booked were all cancelled. However, many of those ministers came to us and said, well, you know, is FPC Kids going to do anything? And we realised very quickly that there was actually a gap and a need for a Holiday Bible Club. And so we decided last year that we would do two Holiday Bible Clubs during the summer months. We also did a few more Holiday Bible Clubs. We did one at Christmas last year, we did one at Easter this year, and we did another Holiday Bible Club this year as well. And so we certainly do use Holiday Bible Clubs and have them a week long, and the meetings will be slightly longer. We try to make these as much like a Holiday Bible Club as possible, a little bit different than our usual Bible Corners. So we included a missionary story, we had a theme for the whole week, and we had quizzes, we had crafts, we had everything going. And you think about a Holiday Bible Club, we tried to get into these meetings. So we did up these Holiday Bible Clubs, and the great thing about these Holiday Bible Clubs was that churches were actually able to get involved and to go out into their local communities and to use these Holiday Bible Clubs as like an outreach amongst the boys and girls. Because a lot of churches came to us and said, you know, the children that don't come to our church every Sunday, or who we're not really in contact with, who don't really come out to children's meetings or things like that, they're not going to go on and watch these videos unless they're actually told that they're there and given an invitation to go and watch them, and given the worksheets and given the crafts for the week, they probably won't watch them. So they were wondering if we could do up a wee pack even for them to give out to children in their local communities. So we were able to do that. It was about 25 churches who got involved over the Holiday Bible Clubs. We want to thank them for that. And we were able to send out a wee personalised invitation just with the church's name on it. And then the packs, they had the 5 worksheets for the week, the 5 crafts for the week, and some churches even sent out the craft supplies for the boys and girls to do. And like I said, they saw it as a real outreach opportunity amongst their local communities. And we want to thank those again, thank those churches who got involved and even who wanted to support the work and go out and get among their boys and girls, even in local communities. So like I said, we had our 2 Holiday Bible Clubs in the summer of last year. Then we also had an Easter Holiday Bible Club, a winter Holiday Bible Club, and again another summer Holiday Bible Club this year. So we all head down to Cumber to record these meetings. We go down to Cumber kind of in the height when we were filming a lot. We were kind of going down once or twice a month. We try to film as much as we can in one day, and that's what we do for our Holiday Bible Clubs. We try to film the whole Holiday Bible Club, the whole 5 days, in one day. And so it is quite an intense day. You're really there 9 o'clock in the morning to 5, 6 o'clock at night, non-stop filming. But we do try our best to get it done. And so we head down to Cumber to record. And a lot of people wonder kind of what our recording process looks like. So hopefully these few photos will give you an idea. It's very basic. We really are just standing in front of a green screen and talking to a camera. That's really what it boils down to. We're kind of like the people who, I think the people who do the weather on TV are like this. They kind of just stand in front of a green screen and hope that what comes up in the background kind of corresponds to what they're saying. And that's what we're doing. We're really hoping that when everything comes together, that what we're saying kind of comes up and corresponds with what comes up behind us. And at the beginning, it was strange. It was hard to do. Just because you were speaking to a camera, you weren't speaking to boys and girls, you didn't really know what was going to come up behind you. But you get used to it as time went on. And so that's kind of what we look like. And we kind of have different setups for different things. So if we're doing a quiz, we wouldn't usually stand in front of the green screen. And then for our Easter Holiday Bible Club and our Christmas one, or Easter one actually, we were able to go outside and do a little bit of filming outside. Robert, he was up Scrabble Tower. I was out amongst the flowers, something about growing with Christ. And then Christmas, sorry to bring it back to Christmas, but Christmas we had our decorations up. And just to make it something a little bit more interesting for the boys and girls and to keep them interested. So maybe you have never seen any of our videos before. I've got a wee promo. We did a wee promo clip for each one of our Holiday Bible Clubs. So I've got one of them from our Easter Holiday Bible Club. So hopefully this will work and give you a little idea of what we're like. In case you haven't seen our videos before, I maybe encourage you to go and watch some of them, give you a little taster. So hopefully this will work. Okay.
Wonderful, wonderful Easter story. We'll make some fantastic crafts.
gives you a little bit of a better insight into what we're like. A lot of people say we're like CBeebies. We're very bright and colourful, very much targeting towards boys and girls. They want them to watch in. And so hopefully that does give you a little taster of what we're like. So again, we had no idea how these holiday Bible clubs were going to go. Again, these are longer, a week long, every morning for a week, during the holidays, during summer and during Christmas time. And we had no idea if boys and girls were, again, were going to want to sit for that length of time and watch these meetings. But again, we were totally amazed at the response from our boys and girls. And what they were able to do every day was to send back pictures of their crafts and of their worksheets. And we were blown away by the amount of photos they got back. I think, especially those summer holiday Bible clubs, there were maybe 200, 250 photos sent back each day of each thing. So you're talking 500 photos sent back. Now, there were £10 Amazon vouchers up for grabs. I don't know if that had any impact on that. I don't know. But we had to actually increase the amount of prizes we were giving away because we got so many photos back. And these are just some of the photos and just give you a little kind of idea of what we were doing. And just seeing their wee faces really does make all the hard work worth it. And we did a lava lamp, which was a big hit one day. And just lots of responses back again. And, you know, we don't know how many boys and girls these videos have reached. And the great thing about Facebook and about YouTube is that those videos are still there for anybody to see. And anybody could see them. Someone's just simply scrolling by, these videos could pop up and it could catch their eye and anyone can watch this. It's a great form of outreach. And like I said, with so many videos or so many photos sent back, some of the crafts were absolutely amazing, a lot better than mine. There's either some very talented children or some very talented mummies out there who did a lot of hard work into those crafts. But we do want to thank yourselves and the church as a whole for their support, even for these holiday Bible clubs. We really do appreciate it. And again, encouraging your children, your grandchildren, nieces, nephews to watch in. We really do appreciate your support. And we do hope that the Lord will continue to use these videos to speak to many boys and girls. That's just some from our Christmas ones that we did. And we even had some people come and say, just, you know, that they use these holiday Bible clubs as a real outreach opportunity amongst extended family members, because at these times when these holiday Bible clubs were going out, really the only people you could have around your house, the only people you could see was your immediate or extended family. And so they invited unsaved brothers and sisters over and they brought their children, and the children all sat and watched the videos and the parents sat behind. And they used it as a real outreach opportunity amongst unsaved family members. So we do thank the Lord for how he has used these videos and used these meetings. And we do ask you to pray that he will continue to do so, and that he will continue to save many boys and girls, and that he will continue to speak to them, and even older ones too, maybe even grandparents or mums and dads watching in, the Lord will speak to them too. So that really is the church side of the work that we did. But in our normal work and that we're doing before the pandemic, there was really two branches to it. There's a church side to it and there's the school side to it. And I was really hoping, again, that September last year that we'd be able to get back into our schools. We kind of left our schools very suddenly. It was just basically a phone call saying, sorry, we can't have you in next time. And so it was playing in my mind that it could be difficult to get back into our schools in September last year. However, again, it was not the Lord's will that we were able to go back into our schools last year. The schools were still shut to us, understandably so, again, to keep everybody as safe as possible. However, we soon realised that there was a real need then for school assemblies. And so we decided that we would do up some school assemblies for schools to be able to use. So we decided that we'd split up into Key Stage 1 and Key Stage 2. And these little assemblies were just about 10 or so minutes long. And they had a wee prayer and then a wee course and then the object or Bible lesson then after it. And we were able then to go to those schools that we ourselves had been in before the pandemic and to let them know that these assemblies were there for them to use. A lot of those principals came back just very thankful that there's something that they could use, something that was easily accessible to them, that was free to use, and they could literally press play and everything was there. They didn't have to put anything together. There was a course already there and things like that. And they really did appreciate it, because assembly is a really important part of the school day. And so we were able to go into those schools, and most of the schools came back and said, yes, we'd love to use them. Then Robert had a great idea to contact every primary school in Northern Ireland. I don't think he realised how many primary schools there are in Northern Ireland. There are a lot. I didn't realise how many schools there are in Northern Ireland, but we set about to them a minute's task of doing so, and we split the country up into 6 counties. So I got County Antrim and County Londonderry, And I think I sent about 250 emails or so out to primary schools. Now, sadly, I didn't get 250 replies back. However, we did get into some new schools and even principals coming back and saying, oh yeah, my kids have watched you all year, they love you. And you know, it was amazing even how the Lord even had already planted those seeds in those schools. And we're able to get into some new schools, and even now come this year, we have even bookings sent to go back into those schools in person, which was a real answer to prayer. So I would ask you to pray for these assemblies. Our schools, still a bit up in the air at the minute about the schools. A lot of schools are still closed, and again, understandably so. Some schools are open and said, yes, come on ahead. But we do ask you to pray that even those schools that are still closed to us, that they'll use these assemblies, they're still there for them to use, and that even the schools will open again. It's difficult, and it's difficult for the principals to know what to do as well. So I'd ask you to pray that even in the right time, the Lord's time, that those schools will open up again, and we'll be able to get into those new schools even that we had contacted last year through these assemblies. So just finish off this part, just some points for prayer. The first one there is an important one, and that is even wisdom about what the future holds for FPC kids. And that is a difficult one because, I guess in a sense, and I hope you don't take me wrong when I say this, but in a sense, it would be great if we didn't have to have FPC kids. We didn't have to have online assemblies because we're able to get into schools. We didn't have to have online meetings on a Sunday because Sunday schools are all back again. But in a greater sense, we don't want to lose what we have. We don't want to lose our FPC kids. We think it's gone well and everybody knows. A lot of people are familiar with us now, familiar with the name. So I'd ask you to pray about what the future does hold and what the meetings look like in the future and what FPC Kids looks like in the future. But thankfully, there's a reading, James 1, verse 5, that if any of us lack wisdom, we simply have to ask of God and he'll give it to us. Second thing there is for future meetings that are planned over the coming months. Again, these are kind of still up in the air, but I would ask you to pray that the Lord would help us and lead us and guide us, even as to what those meetings should be. And then even, all being well, even the recording of those meetings, that the Lord would give help. A third thing there, I touched on this already, is about the new schools. And I would ask you to pray that we will have openings into our schools, and that again, we will be able to get back to full-time work again in our schools around the country. And then fourth thing, most importantly there, that children will be brought to the Lord and will be built up in their walk with Jesus. And that is the whole point behind FPC Kids. And that's why we've done all that we've done over the past year and a half, and even the work that's been done before the pandemic. So little ones will be brought to an understanding of their sin, and that they'll come and ask the Lord to be their saviour. And sometimes I have to admit, even over the past year and a half, I kind of lost sight of that. And I think it was just simply because you were talking to a camera, you weren't talking to boys and girls, and it's all the excitement of a new thing. And I kind of lost sight sometimes of why we were doing all this, and that is to spread the gospel to the generation following. And we read that little phrase there in that psalm we read at the beginning tonight in verse 13 of Psalm 48. We read that phrase there. Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. This psalm is a really wonderful psalm, and it is full even of what God has done for his people in the past and how he helped his people. And we see many attributes of God in this chapter. We see God as our king and our refuge and our fortress. We see him as our loving God. And verse 13, we really see him there as God is our protector. And it is verse 13, and especially that last little phrase, I want to look very, very quickly at tonight. We're told there at the end of verse 13 to tell it to the generation following. And I guess that asks the question then, well, what is this it? What are we to tell to the generation following? Well, we are to tell them of the wonderful works of God that have been talked about not only throughout this psalm, but all throughout the Word of God. We're told there in verse 13, we're told there to mark ye well her bulwarks. And that really talks about safety and defence and what a great safety our God is. And we are to let our children coming up behind us know of the safety that they have in God and of the great defence that he is. Especially concerning the times that we're living in. And not just with the coronavirus, but even with the wicked world that they live in that is totally against God and the Christian. And I am sure the children have been fearful about everything that's happening. And sometimes we can forget about our boys and girls. We think they're pretty resilient. They bounce back pretty quickly. But I'm sure the past year and a half has been very hard on them. And even not being able to see their friends for a long time and being at home a long time. And one week they were at school, the next week they weren't at school. And even travelling around churches, you can see the impact it's had on children. Even missing that year and a half where they didn't come to church at all. or maybe not a year and a half, but that long period of time where they weren't able to come to church, it has had an impact on them. And we need to pray for them, and we need to remember them, and we need to let them know that their God is a God of refuge and strength in times of trouble. And that's why we have to tell them what the Lord has done for them, what the Lord has done in the past, all throughout the Word of God, and what he can do for them in the future. We're also telling them of the palaces we read there. Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces. And surely that reminds us of heaven. And we are to tell our boys and girls of heaven, and the only way they can get to heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to pray that they will accept God's offer of salvation, and then assure them there, as verse 14 tells us, that their God will be their God forever and ever, and he will be a guide even for the rest of their lives. Our children are so important, and teaching them the ways of God and of the Bible is more important than ever. They're not only the future of our church, they are our church at the minute. And they need to be taught the truths of the Bible and what the Bible teaches them about how they should live their lives before God. And we're not just telling the stories in the Bible, and yes, they're wonderful stories. We're not just to tell them the stories and stop there. We're to apply those stories to their lives and even teach them about how God wants them to live their lives. We need to give them a good foundation to build on, teaching them where sin came from and why they must be saved and how they can be saved and why they can be saved. And then teaching them how to live their lives as Christians and what God expects from them and all that comes with that. And the wonderful thing is that you don't have to be up in front of a screen. You don't have to be up on Facebook or YouTube to tell the boys and girls of all that Christ has done for them. We all can be part of teaching our children. You can speak a word to your children, to your grandchildren, to your nieces, your nephews, to kids or friends, whoever it might be. Just by simply speaking a word, you can do a great work for the Lord. And we are commanded to tell the children the things of God. We are told there in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go. You know, it's not just what we say to our boys and girls that will speak to them, but even how we act every day will speak to our boys and girls. And I know this past year and a half has been difficult, and I'm sure many here, like myself, has perhaps felt anxious and worried at times, and fear has crept in even about the unknown. And we perhaps wondered why God has allowed all of this to happen. And not maybe even over the past year and a half, but other times in your life, maybe a fear and anxiety has crept in about certain things that are going on, and we've asked that question, well, why? Why has God allowed this to happen? But the thing is, our boys and girls, they see that. They see fear, they see anxious, they're very perceptive, their children, and they know when something's not right and something's wrong. And, you know, children learn from our behaviour. I have a little niece, she's only a year and a half nearly, and she's at a stage where she just copies everything that you do. And you say, what colour? My dad has a tractor, he's on a farm. He's got a blue tractor, but she doesn't have any concept of what blue means, that it's a colour. She just knows that we call it a blue tractor. So you say, what colour is your tractor? Blue. But she's no idea that that's what that actually means, but she copies what we do and what we say to her. And that's how children learn. They copy. They copy our behaviour. And when they see, when our boys and girls see us not trusting in God, and when they see us letting those fears come in, they'll learn from that and they'll copy how we act. But we don't want our boys and girls to live in fear. But we do want them to know, even as Psalm 48 here tells us, that their God is a great God and that he, and what he can do for them. And so we are to live our lives so that those children who look up to us as examples, whether that be in our home, in our church, in our work, whatever it may be, so those children who do look up to us will see our faith and trust in God, and they will learn from that. Now, like I said, I know that can be hard at times. I would ask you to turn just one last passage tonight, which is Daniel chapter 12. And Daniel here, he found himself in a same kind of situation that maybe some of us here find ourselves tonight. Book of Daniel is a wonderful book, and I'm sure a lot of you here tonight can tell the stories a lot better than me of the start of Daniel, those stories, wonderful stories, Daniel and his three friends, and Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel, of course, in the lion's den, probably one of the most famous stories in the Bible. However, the last few chapters of Daniel are perhaps slightly less well known, as they are slightly more difficult to understand, and I'm not even going to try to attempt to explain these passages in Daniel tonight. However, in Daniel chapter 12, we do have Daniel receiving a vision from the Lord. And we're not going to take the time to read through this vision, but in verse 8, we see here that Daniel, in seeing and hearing all that he heard from the Lord, we read there in verse 8 that he did not understand all that he saw. In verse 8, he says, "And I heard, but I understood not." This is Daniel speaking. And then he said, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? So he desired to know what the Lord was showing him, and he desired to know what everything meant. And so he asked the Lord, quite naturally, what everything meant. But the Lord here gives Daniel a slightly surprising answer. And instead of revealing to Daniel what he meant, as he had done many times during Daniel's life, think about it, the Lord revealed unto Daniel things that he revealed to no one else. He revealed unto Daniel what Nebuchadnezzar's dream was, even though Nebuchadnezzar didn't know what it was, and what the handwriting on the wall meant. But here in this instance, the Lord does not reveal unto Daniel what he meant, but instead he tells Daniel to go on his way. Read there in verse 9, it's the Lord speaking, and he said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the end of time." It was not for Daniel to know at this time what God was thinking. The words were closed and sealed up for no man to know, as it is with us at times. We will not always know what the mind and will of the Lord is. And you know, we may ask that question, "Oh my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" Maybe over this past year and a half, I know I've asked that question. And many in here tonight have asked that question too. And maybe not even with the coronavirus and all that goes along with it. Perhaps other times in your life, you've asked that question, "Oh my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Why has this all happened?" You know, sometimes the Lord may not let us know and may not reveal it unto us. And he might say that the words are closed up and sealed for no man to know. But we will not always know sometimes what the mind and will of God is. But we're to be encouraged that God always knows his mind and he always knows his will. He is always in control and nothing happens without his knowledge. He has it all planned out. But you know, the Lord doesn't just tell Daniel that he's not to know. He gives Daniel instruction and he tells Daniel to go on his way. And Daniel may not have understood, but that didn't mean he was just to stop in his walk with the Lord and his work with the Lord. He was to keep going on with the Lord and to do a work for him. He was to persevere on. And like I said, like Daniel, we may not understand the things that are going on in our lives and in this world, but we're to keep going on with the Lord. That's all we can do and what God wants us to do. We're to persevere on in whatever work that God has given us to do and keep going on in our walk with the Lord and ultimately keep our eyes in Christ. And when we simply keep on trusting and going on with the Lord, and yes, it's hard. It can be hard at times, but when we do that, our children will see that and they'll learn from it and they will know that there is nothing to fear. And even as Psalm 48 verse 14 tells us, they will know that their God is their God forever and ever, and he will be a guide even unto death. And that is what we've been hoping to do with FPC Kids over the past year and a half, even showing our boys and girls that there is nothing to fear and that God is in control. Our kids are very sadly growing up in a world that is full of sin, and they're going to be taught things in certain schools that are totally against the word of God. They're going to be seeing things on TV and from social media about sin, and there's nothing wrong with it. Just go on ahead and do it. And so we do have a responsibility to tell the generation following the truths of the Bible. And that's what we've been trying to do with FPC Kids and even with the work that's been done before the pandemic. So I finish off by asking you to pray. Pray for our work. Pray not only for FPC Kids, but even for our own individual work as it even begins to pick up again. And even to support the work to spread it abroad. And ask the Lord to use this work for his own glory in bringing many little ones onto the Saviour. And too soon that we will be able to get back to our full-time work again, even especially in the schools. And even it saddens me to think that we left children who were in P6 and now they've gone up into secondary school and they might never hear the gospel again. And we just ask you to pray that even those children, something they heard even in schools, not only through us going in, but even other ministers and organisations going in will speak to them, even about their need of a saviour. So I ask you to pray that we will be able to get back into our schools again and into our churches in a full-time way so that those many ones who have been missed even over the past year will be reached with the gospel once again. I just want to thank you again for having me along tonight. I do hope you have been encouraged to hear how the Lord has been working, and even it'll give you a little bit of a better insight into the work that we've been doing, and we'll even help you to pray more specifically for it, and especially just pray even for the boys and girls. That's why we're doing it, so they'll be saved from their sins, but go on with the Lord. And even the boys and girls who go here to this church in your communities, that the Lord would even work in their hearts and that he would save them and that he would even raise up those children for the future even of our church. Thank you very much.